verses 16 to 21. And this is using the New Living Translation. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy." We ourselves have heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and Christ the morning star shines in your hearts. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. The Word of God for the people of God.
Lord, we are listening. Thank you, Harold. Yeah, powerful, powerful scripture. Powerful stuff. Living in kind of interesting days where the gospel is challenged all the time. People who are Christians and believers are seen as naive. People who really don't have a real grasp on reality. That we believe some kind of strange story about this man 2,000 years ago who came and died on a cross for our sin. That doesn't make any sense. And so because of that, Peter had to write these words. He did. He had to write these words so that we could be reminded of the fact that the gospel is true. That the message of the gospel is real. That the message of the gospel changes people's lives. It's not a fairy tale or a fable. First service, we didn't quite get through these well, but who's up on the top right there? Who is that? He's touching it. It's turning to gold. Midas. King Midas. Remember King Midas? He always wished that he could touch what anything he touched would turn to gold. Kind of a sad story, though, really, right? Do you know the story of King Midas? He fell in love, and he went to kiss this woman that he loved, and when he touched her, she turned to gold. I don't know, maybe he'd rather have the gold than the relationship. You never know. But, you know, he was very sad. It's really one of those fables, one of those stories that a very important saying came out of that. Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. What about the lower right? Da 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 da. Cinderella. Right? Is that a real story? Doubt it. I was just talking to the kids about it. No, it's not true. What about the other one? See if you can figure that one out. Who? Rumpelstiltskin. Do you know the story of Rumpelstiltskin? Yeah. Yeah. What was she weaving there? Do you remember? Her hair? No, that was Thumbelina. No, what was her name? Tangamanga. What was her name with the long hair? Rapunzel. Wasn't Rapunzel, did she? Or did she weaved gold, whatever the story is. Do you believe this little guy, you can't hardly see him in the picture there, here he is kind of right there. Rumpelstiltskin came and sang this song and it's all weird. Do you believe that? Nope. The Brothers Grimm are fairy tales. Do you think there's a real troll that lived under a bridge? Don't think so. Any of those stories true? Don't think so. But you see, this is the kind of equivalent that Peter was working with. He wrote this letter, these letters actually, to the church in Asia Minor, and it was spread around the entire area of Asia Minor to people who were not Christians, and yet we're hearing the gospel and they were saying, that can't be true. Can't be true that a man died on a cross and rose again the third day. Can't be true. So Peter wrote these words, and we're going to investigate just what Peter said, and we're going to take a good hard look at what he said and why he said it. The first thing he said was that the accounts of the gospel are true. The accounts of the gospel are true. If you have your Bible, go to 2 Peter, right there, toward the end. My pages are sticking together. Chapter 1, end of chapter 1. So here's what Peter said. Of course, being a follower of Jesus, he said these words. He said, "For we are not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his miraculous splendor with our own eyes when he received honor and glory from God the Father. The voice of the majestic glory of God said to him, 'This is my beloved Son, who brings me great joy.' We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." The holy mountain, today is what day, Michael? Transfiguration. Yes, this is Transfiguration Sunday. That's why that scripture has been brought to us. Because Peter was relaying, "I was with them up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, and I heard the voice of heaven speak and say, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" We also heard it at baptism. But Peter, see, is relaying a story that was real. I saw it with my own eyes. Now, how do I know that he was convinced? Maybe he, you know, was not altogether. Maybe the elevator didn't go to the top floor. That's what people were saying. But how willing was he to speak the truth? He spoke the truth until he died for it. Not only him, but all of the disciples. The story of Jesus being raised from the dead, people didn't believe it because they believed that the disciples went and, they all gathered together and banded together and somehow raided the tomb where Jesus was and beat up the soldiers, came away unscathed, pretty interesting, then rolled the stone away, which would be tough, and they went in there and stole the body of Jesus so that they could say that he had risen again. Doubt it. How do we know that? We know that it is a true story because every one of them, save one, died horrible deaths. Some of them were boiled in oil. Some of them were drawn and quartered. And I've told you about this, where James in particular, now, you know, how, if you study the disciples, it's an amazing thing to see how they died. You see, Peter was crucified. They said they were going to crucify him. And Peter said, "No, I don't want to be crucified like Jesus. I want you to turn me upside down." So he was crucified with his head down. You thunk, somebody along the way, one of those disciples would have said, you know, before they're nailing you to the cross or tying you up so that you can die or tying your hands and feet to ropes of horses so that you could be quartered, that those horses would pull and just... You'd think one of them, James might have said when they were tying the ropes on his wrists, "Hey, it ain't true." Okay? "I'm going to fess up here. We stole the body of Jesus." Not one of them did that. Because it was true. Peter said, I'm not telling you a bunch of clever stories here. I'm telling you the truth when I talk about Jesus Christ and what happened to him. I am telling you the truth. It is important to know that. Secondly, he said, because they're real, or because they're true, these stories, we have confidence. We have confidence. And here's what he said in verse 19 of that passage in 2 Peter. Because of that experience, that he's talking about transfiguration, but because, really of the experience of knowing Christ, the experience of walking with Christ, he says, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. We have confidence because it's true. Because it's true. Hebrews chapter 4 says these words. Verse 12, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Then he says, Since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. Let us have confidence in what we believe. The high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So, let us come boldly before the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Let us hold firmly to what we believe. Don't let any circumstance, don't let anything in this world pull you away from him. Well, you can't. But your faith becomes clouded by everything else in the world. Have confidence when you stand before God. Have confidence when you walk with him every single day. Have confidence as you serve the Lord. And then last, the Word of God is inspired. The Word of God is inspired. Well, Peter said that there in 2 Peter. It says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy or scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding. See, we as a church are we have a reformed tradition. And in that reformed tradition, it states very clearly that the Word of God is inspired. That the words that we read in this word came from God himself. That God inspired the thoughts and the words of those who wrote this scripture. And that those words are important to us and they guide our lives. That the word of God is inspired. But listen now to what 2 Timothy says, and I love this passage. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. Isn't that neat? It's just very clear. Then he says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Isn't that a neat way to say that? That the scripture is true, and it teaches us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The word of God is inspired. It's not just a book. It's not just a collection of writings. It is inspired by God. That's being challenged today. It really is being challenged everywhere. It's being challenged in the denominations for people to say, "Yeah, the Bible's just it's just a good book. You know, it's just a nice book." And the authority of Christ and the authority of Scripture, that's all being challenged. Well, from where I stand and from where I sit, it's God's word. From where I stand and from where I sit, Jesus was divine before birth. John, you read John. No, not John. But you read from John chapter 1 that the Word was with God and the Word was God. We believe that he is divine, that he has divine authority in our lives. So the Word of God is inspired. Here's that passage one more time. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. You know, you want to figure out how to live and how to do the right thing in your life? Just follow the Scriptures. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. It's inspired. It's inspired. Know that. Have confidence today in God. Have confidence in the Scripture. Have confidence in what God is doing in our lives. Have confidence. as you walk with him. Father, we do thank you. We praise you for your goodness, and we thank you for your word, which does not fail. It does not fail. So, Father, today, as we are here in this hour, teach us, Lord, how you want us to be, and we'll give you thanks through Christ our Lord. All the people of God said, amen.